Al Horford, two for two and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Both teams out of timeouts. Both teams over the limit. Lakers lead by one. Gordon Hayward inbound to Kyrie. Straight away against Ingram. Tatum sets the screen. Kyrie, right-hand dribble. Turns the corner on Kuzma. Attacks the paint. Floats it off the window and in. Celtics lead 11.5 to go. No timeouts. Rondo into Ingram. Ingram will walk it up into the front court. 8 seconds to go. Ingram to his right behind the Chandler screen. Starts his drive past Horford. Reverses it up. Blocked by Horford. Loose ball. Pinballed around. Rondo for the game. He got it. The ball bounces to Rajon Rondo, who hits from the left elbow, and the Los Angeles Lakers have scored a stunning buzzer-beating win in Boston.
You know, Rondo made shots all night. Yeah, I thought Rondo was terrific tonight. Hats off to them. There's a lot of good players over there, but LeBron was, you know, picking us apart and with the pass more than anything else.
Celtics head coach Brad Stevens at the conclusion of the gut-wrenching Celtics loss to the LA Lakers Thursday night at the Garden. I still can't believe that. And I'm still convinced that I heard a whistle, at least on the TV broadcast, while that ball's bouncing around before it ends up in Rondo's hands and he shoots it up and gets the buzzer beater. I'm convinced there was a whistle and there's clips all over. I know Danny Picard had put it out there. He thought he heard the same thing. Like, I thought I heard a whistle. Either way, God, what a gut-wrenching loss that was. Awful. Get a rebound, for God's sakes. Gordon Hayward, awful again. But besides that, it's been a real interesting week, or 2 weeks, really, for the league. I thought that they completely took over everything leading into the Super Bowl, what with some of the big trades, Anthony Davis making his announcement. You have Kyrie Irving saying, I don't know anybody, all of this, but the trade deadline comes and goes ahead of the game against the Lakers on Thursday. Chris, Anthony Davis, still a member of the New Orleans Pelicans, booed at home last night. You bunch of babies in New Orleans.
So he was cheered at the end.
Yeah, and then he didn't even play in the fourth quarter, right? Or didn't
he? He did not play.
He still ended up with like 35 points.
Yeah, no, he was awesome. 32-9. He had 24 in the first half, but strangely was sort of confused as to why the fans would boo him.
Yeah.
Seriously, he was like, oh, that was awkward. I didn't really understand. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, maybe you should work on self-awareness, Anthony Davis, because the people in that area are pretty upset because you want nothing to do with them and their delicious beignets anymore. But be that as it may, the trade deadline comes and goes. Davis still a Pelican, which leads me to believe the Celtics are still in the driver's seat to get this guy this summer. And that's a good thing.
Look, I think that's from a Celtics standpoint, there were a lot of things that happened at the trade deadline that you didn't like. You don't like Philadelphia getting better, you know, getting Tobias Harris. You don't like to see Milwaukee get better with Nikola Mirotic. You don't like to see Marcus Gasol go to Toronto. But the single most important thing was that Anthony Davis is still on the board for you when you get to the offseason. And I think when you look at it from that standpoint, it's sort of mission accomplished. And I don't know how Danny did it. I don't know what he was able to say to sway Dell Demps to not make the deal, because you just referenced what it was like last night in New Orleans for Anthony Davis. I mean, it was, you know, it was a debacle out there with him being booed and cheered and he doesn't play in the fourth quarter because he's like on a minutes restriction. They really don't want to play him, but the league's saying if you don't play him, you're fined $100,000 for every game he doesn't play. He wants to play. It's a mess. It's a complete mess. So there better be some payoff for Dell Demps and the Pelicans at the end of this thing. And I have to believe that they somehow were led to believe that the payoff will be one Jason Tatum.
And so Anthony Davis has made it sound like he wants nothing to do with coming here. Has signed, obviously, going back going into the season with LeBron's agency and his agent and Rich Paul, who, by the way, I find it interesting, before he became an agent, used to sell throwback jerseys out of the trunk of his car. Look that up. I find, you know, like, that's a guy that knows his hustle.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can hustle.
But either way, sounds like he wants nothing to do with signing an extension here. With all that being said, would you still make this move this summer with Tatum on the board if he's part of this, and it feels like he is and has to be to make this deal happen? Do you still do that without the assurance he's going to sign here long term? Because I do. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that if it means you can retain Kyrie and Anthony Davis, then I do it. Because I think, you know, once you have Kyrie in the fold, if it's the difference between Kyrie walking or not, I do it, because I think Kyrie will convince Anthony Davis to stay. Winning will convince Anthony Davis to stay. I think where it gets interesting is that if Kyrie's out, do you still make the deal?
Well, no, because I don't, because I think one of the reasons you have to get Anthony Davis here is to assure that Kyrie Irving ends up re-upping this summer. You know, I think that that's also part of this, is that there's been this conversation with Danny Ainge and ownership to Kyrie and say, like, okay, we now know that you're a flight risk. You shook us to our core saying what you said last week, and I don't know anybody else. Talk to me July 1st. Like, ah! Like, the Celtics are right to be upset about that. They really are. But I hope, and I have to think, that they've had a conversation with Kyrie Irving since and said, okay, look, we're all in on Anthony Davis. If we get him, are you good? And granted, as you well know, because you called this from the rip, that he was not, even though what he said to that that crowd of the season ticket holders ahead of the season didn't mean crap, and you were right. Kudos to you, Chris Gasper. Until the ink is dry, you don't know, but I think you do have to make this move, even without the assurance of Davis coming here. Like, that's what keeps Kyrie here, I really believe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's sort of what it's about, and they're in an interesting spot now, because I feel like Kyrie staying is now sort of contingent upon how the rest of their season goes. And what's the feeling at the end? You know, do they leave the season on a positive note, or is it disappointing? Is it a negative note? What's up with Anthony Davis? I think there are all these sort of, I don't want to say they're external factors, but there are all these mitigating factors now.
Definitely.
As opposed to it being sort of just a straightforward, like, if you'll have me, I want to be here. And again, you know, I've said this a million times. I think he was sincere and genuine the night that he said that. I do believe, I don't think he just said it to say it. But I think that he is one of these guys where he's not going to let what other people think affect his decision. And so if throughout the course of a year, you know, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months later, he feels differently and he views the situation from a different perspective, then he's not going to say, well, you know, I told him back in October that I was going to be here, so I can't do anything. No, that's not the way the guy's wired. He doesn't care. You know, he's going to do what's right for him. He's not going to just do the most conformist thing to do. I mean, he's a nonconformist at heart.
He's the worst temperamental girlfriend that you've ever dealt with. Like, okay, yeah, I'm with you. That night that he said that to all those Celtics season ticket holders, that's how he felt that night. A few days later, maybe not so much. And now that the team hasn't played up to what we all thought that they were going to be this year, and he's had some issues with some of the players, maybe like Jaylen Brown, and now I definitely don't feel that way, at least not today. But who knows how I'll feel tomorrow. I don't know. Talk to me then. Part of it, too, and I agree with you, is that how the rest of this season plays out. So they continue to struggle sometimes against, well, what happened with the Lakers the other night, and, you know, lack of rebounding, too many minutes for Gordon Hayward, again. It feels like a lot of this hangs on a deep playoff run. You mentioned some of these other teams in the East making improvements, especially the Milwaukee Bucks, who I feel like if you put a different coat of paint on them and a different logo, they'd be taken more seriously by people around here, but because they're the Bucks, and because they haven't made any kind of run, at least since Antetokounmpo's been there, people are like, bah, no, they won't figure it out. They're the Bucks. They have yet to even win a playoff series. If that's the Miami Heat with all those players, you take that team more seriously. Either way, feels like a lot of this hangs on a deep playoff run. They made no improvement. So in a lot of ways, it feels like at the trade deadline, on one end, the Celtics win because Davis doesn't go anywhere. On the other hand, feels like they kind of lost. Some thoughts on what happened against the Lakers on Thursday night, and do you, like, what's the, realistically, because it feels like they're not going to be able to catch Milwaukee in terms of the standings, like, how do you think that this is going to play out with, what, 27 games remaining in the regular season? Feels like they're probably not going to get higher than the three. Can they make a deep playoff run?
I think they're capable. And it you know, if we've learned anything from the Patriots, it's that when a team has the talent and it has the foundation, that they can turn it on at any time. And so I think the Celtics are more than capable, even with the moves that their competition made. They have as much talent as anybody. But I do agree that it is contingent on a deep playoff run. And giving away games like the Lakers game makes it harder for them because it affects seeding. It affects home court. It makes the road harder. You know, do you want to run into, you know, Milwaukee or Toronto, you know, in the second round? You know, how does that sort of work out for you? And so I just feel like there have been too many games this year like that Lakers game where they lost to an inferior team.
They can't, and especially at home. And that's the thing. Because of the LeBron factor, like, you're going to, I guess if you're a casual NBA fan, you're like, oh, well, you know, it's LeBron. He's had success against that team stinks. They're not that good. You can't lose that team to that team at home, especially when the night before, leading into the trade deadline, they lost by 43.
Yeah, to the no Victor Oladipo having Pacers. They got absolutely smoked.
Dean and Shrewsbury, you're first up here on the Sports Hub Celtics show this afternoon. Hey, Dean.
Hi. I think Brad Stevens made a huge mistake with his ATO at the end of the game. you play it so that Kyrie has the last shot. The shot clock is off, and he takes a shot with like 12, 13 seconds left. You didn't have to give him a choice to shoot at the end of the game, the Lakers.
Yeah. I mean, they could have played that a little differently. You can sort of take it down that way. I know other people have had that complaint. You know, on the other hand, you're able to be where you are, and it's like you just need to stop. And they actually got that stop, courtesy of Al Horford, and now you just need to get the loose ball. Like, I know people want to sort of blame Brad, and it's a legitimate second guess, but when I look back at the way that game ended, I just think that they got some bad bounces. Now, did they deserve to win the game? As Brad said, no, they didn't, because they let the Lakers back in there. But the reason they lost at the end was fluky bounces.
Ralphie in the car. What did you make of the Celtics not making any moves at the trade deadline?
Hey, what's up, boys? Really the best show during the week. I just wanted to wanted your input on why Danny Ainge couldn't have made a deal during the trade deadline, given that, you know, Gordon Hayward hasn't really progressed, you know, during the season. And then I was wondering that, like, it's very risky to just depend on him to get back to form the way he was before. Like, why couldn't he just make a move? What do you guys think?
Well, it sounded like someone was on the table, and we'll play some of the sound from his interview on Friday morning with Tutcher and Rich. But he, you know, said there was a player, he didn't name it, he talked to about potentially moving him. Now, Jimmy Stewart, executive producer of Felger and Maz, he didn't say he believed, but he thought it could have been Marcus Morris, which I would hate on the one hand in terms of how this season has played out, because he's been the second most consistent player outside of Kyrie Irving on this team. But you do have a logjam at that position in the wing. So, okay, maybe get rid of him. Maybe that makes Jaylen Brown a little bit more happy. I mean, for long term, it makes sense. But for this year, and especially if you need a deep playoff run to keep Kyrie happy, I don't know why they would do that. But I don't know, just overall, do you think that he was negligent in not doing anything in terms of even a minor move on Thursday?
No, I mean, not really. Let's see what happens with the buyout market here. I mean, they did make the move to clear Jabari Bird off the roster and open up a roster spot so that when it's buyout season, they can potentially add somebody. I think
sniffing around an S. Cantor.
Yeah, apparently. Which would be interesting. You know, another big, honestly, I probably would prefer a little more shooting, but let's see what happens here. I think that it's hard for Danny to make any move because you have to sort of conserve and preserve all your assets to be able to make the move you need to make for Davis in the offseason.
Got a couple open lines. You want to join us here in the Sports Hub Celtics show? Just one segment to go. It's a short show today leading into the Bruins matinee against the LA Kings. 617-779-0985. We'll get to you and some of the comments made by Danny Ainge and the hopeful marriage going forward this summer with Kyrie Irving. We'll do that next year. Sports Hub Celtics show with Jim Murray and Chris Gasper here on the Sports Hub.
The excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What did you make of those comments from Kyrie?
The way I view the situation is, I think a lot of people, because of Kyrie's announcement at the beginning of the year, you know, thought that there was a marriage. I think that it's more like an engagement, and we're going to get married on July 1st. And I think that engagement is still on. As far as I know, in my individual conversations with Kyrie, we're still engaged, but we really can't, you know, make those vows, sign that contract until July 1st.
It's a beautiful time for the wedding.
Yeah, and so I just, you know, we will. Like, we do have to wait till July 1st to, you know, finish any deal.
Hopefully those comments don't come back to bite Celtics president of basketball Danny Ainge back in the ass come this summer. No, we're getting married. No, everything's going to be fine. My fickle fiance, she's going to be happy. July 1st, we're going to go to the altar, and everything's going to be fine. And then all of a sudden, poof, the bride disappears. Ah! Sports Hub Celtics show, Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you at 617-779-0985. He sounds confident. So it feels like Danny Ainge is confident, but again, you're dealing with a very fickle fiance, and Kyrie Irving feels like a lot of things have to go right here. A deep playoff run. Are we getting Anthony Davis this summer? Will that finally keep my potential wife happy? Please, I hope that it does. I just hope this thing doesn't end up biting him in the ass, like I said.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where the language around this has changed. Obviously, they're trying to put the best possible face on it. It just seems that it's really interesting. I mean, you know, there was a story that Adrian Wojnarowski had ESPN talking about the Celtics and their situation. And I'm going to read part of it. It says that sources also said the Celtics also believe that a deal for Davis will help solidify Irving's confidence in re-signing with the organization.
That's the big house. Anthony Davis is the big house. You're getting me a big house, right? Yes, dear. We'll have a big house with all the windows you want. It'll have a backyard. Will that make you happy? With the marriage is still on, right? We'll see. All right.
Yeah, that's what it feels. I mean, yeah. So it feels like, you know, do you have to solidify this engagement? I mean, that's sort of what it feels like at this point, and that's just a little bit different. I think this whole thing is a little precarious for the Celtics, and I think if we're all being honest, you know, we all have our own interpretations of it. The Celtics are obviously much closer to it than we are, but really, nobody knows.
No.
Nobody knows what Kyrie is going to do.
And the reason you don't walk is because you're just hooked on that sex. And that sex is the offensive scoring prowess of Kyrie Irving and all the ball handling skills. He's a giant pain in the ass. And you ask yourself sometimes before you go to bed, why am I doing this? Why am I going to try to marry this person? Oh, that's right. The sex is so good.
This sounds really personal, Jim. Nah, are we still talking about this? Is this still a Celtics show?
Hey, look.
Or are you just unburdening yourself?
No, not at all. No, I'm very, please, don't equate what's going on in my life. I'm very lucky. No, I'm just, I'm trying to play it
up
the radio.
No, I'm talking about a past experience. I know that your current lovely lady, you would not be referring to her or describing her. I'm just saying this sounds like a past experience you had.
Yeah, maybe. So, look, Danny, we've all been there. We can understand it. Like, what am I doing? But, you know, again, it's so good. The offensive firepower from Kyrie Irving, it's so good. Those ball handling skills. Oh, did you see that move? Oh, that's why. That's why I try to make this insufferable black hole of a person happy. So, yeah, you try to get the big house in Anthony Davis, and you need the big ring and the deep playoff run. So, good luck. You're going to need it. Let's go to Ryan in Woonsocket. You wanted to talk Celtics here in the time remaining we have on the show today.
Yeah. The big problem with the Celtics is obviously Gordon Hayward. He's a guy that all he's doing is dribble, dish. He's bringing the team down. Unless he can step up his game, they're not going anywhere. So let's say this. After the All-Star break, if he's still playing like this, they either need to, A, shut him down, or, you know, he gets to a level where he's taking 10 to 12 shots. First of all, he needs to start shooting mid-range shots and get away from the perimeter, get more confident going to the basket, because like I said, all he's doing is dribble, dish. And one more thing, it's obviously Tatum that Ainge is talking about, because the one thing people keep throwing out there is, you know, the only way we can get Davis is Tatum. You don't do that, first of all, and it's going to depend on how far the Celtics go also.
Yeah.
But the weird thing about if it's Tatum, though, is that we all know, and Danny knows too, he can't make the deal for Davis.
Now, yeah, because of the Rose Rule going on with Kyrie Irving. Peter in Jamaica playing. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Let me try that again. Hello.
Hey, listener. Peter.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. I was listening to Chris Mannix on, you know, The Jump or one of those shows, and they say the Celtics definitely have a plan B, which I prefer, okay?
Okay.
Everyone's thinking if Kyrie leaves and they don't sign AD, it's a disaster. But, okay, let's say that happens, all right? They can bring back the same team that should have gone to the NBA Finals with a healthy Gordon Hayward and keep their draft picks, sign Terry Rozier. To me, I would prefer that, and that's their plan B. I don't think it's, I don't think they're done if they don't sign Anthony Davis and Kyrie.
And so, Peter, they would still be an extremely competitive team. I'm with you on that. But is that enough to get over the hump of, well, what's remaining in Golden State? What happens with the Knicks if Kyrie leaves? So now is it going to be Kyrie and Kawhi or Kyrie and Anthony Davis in New York?
Kyrie
and Kevin Durant? You know, like, there's still going to be some issues there. I just don't think you'll be good enough to win a title. It's not a bad plan B. It's just not enough to be a championship team, I think. Gordon Hayward, so much of this hinges on him, right? And so what do you think? If this continues to look like this, and I mentioned yesterday, 9 points now against 9 combined points against the Lakers, the Thunder, and Golden State a couple of Saturdays back. 26 minutes, 4 points the other night. Like, if it does continue to look like this, Chris, I would hope that they would shut him down, but they probably won't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're at the point where we need to shut him down. I just think they need to treat him differently, and this has been a challenge for Brad.
Just less minutes then?
From the beginning, yeah. Well, it's you know what? You're sort of on trial every night. It's on a night-to-night basis. And if it's a night where Gordon Hayward has it, then play him. If it's a night where he doesn't have it, then the minutes need to be less than they've been. And I feel like they're sort of giving him minutes no matter what. I think it's a challenge for Brad. It's a balancing act. They're trying to get Gordon Hayward back to form for the playoffs, but at the same time, they're costing themselves these games along the way, and there's no guarantee now that we're 55 games into the season that he will ever get back to the prior form this season.
Jimmy in New Hampshire, you're going to be the final call here today on the Sports Hub Celtics show. Hello, Jimmy.
Right on. Let's bring it home, guys. I love the show. Murray, you're an absolute riot, dude. You should be out on doing comedy shows, for real. The difference between this year's and last year's team is just crazy, because last year, we would always come back from like 15-point deficits. This year, it seems like we lose 15-point deficits, yeah. And I try to find the difference. And I'm like, Marcus Morris is better. Marcus Smart is way better this year. I think he's awesome. And I just, you know, okay, Kyrie, okay, he's the most talented guy. But just to talk about Anthony Davis and Tatum, last year, guys, who was the best player on our team in the playoffs during the run?
It was Tatum.
It was Tatum, you know.
Without a question, yeah. Tatum, right?
I mean, Al was close, but it was Tatum.
It was exactly. And the kid was 19 years old. I'm pretty sure he had the most points in a playoff run for a 19-year-old, right? The dude's going to put on 20 to 30 more pounds, guys, in the next 2 years. I'm telling you, look at the numbers that Anthony Davis scored in the NBA when he was 20. I'm not saying Tatum's going to be as good, because I know Davis is awesome, but you do not give away a guy like Tatum when you have him on cheap money for two more years, and the dude has an uncapped ceiling.
And Jimmy, thanks for the call and the compliments. I can understand the argument for keeping Tatum, but there's still an unknown there. Davis, known commodity.
You can argue he's prime, turns 26 next month.
You could argue he's one of the top three, not even five, players in the NBA. That's going to do it. Like I said, abbreviated show today, as the Bruins have a matinee over at the Garden today against the Los Angeles Kings. Want to thank Mike Riley, John Hamblin on the Sports Hub headlines, Tracy Clements for producing today's short show, and of course you, Chris Gasper. Always a pleasure. And we're back in the saddle here on Saturdays. We got a full show next Saturday, 11 to 2 here on the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.